Acknowledge God is the title of tonight's devotion. And we have 4 points. Hear and consider his works, verse 14. Our imperfect knowledge, humility in the sight of the all-knowing God, verse 15 to 17. We are not there when he created the world, verse 18. And verse 19 to 20, let us be silent before him. Let us be silent before him. It is for man to acknowledge God in worship and complete obeisance when he understands more clearly the person of God. Elihu here addresses himself closely to Job, observed Matthew Henry, desiring him to apply what he had so far said to himself. He begs that he would hearken to what he had just said, for he paused and asked him to stand still and think and consider God and who he is and what he is doing in the world around us. What we hear is not likely to profit us unless we consider it. And we are not likely to consider things fully unless we stand still and compose ourselves to the consideration of what is before us. So here, as we consider the words of Elihu, he's seeking for his people not just to read our Bibles, but read our Bibles with a heart that is awake and considering and pondering what we are reading. We need to meditate and think about what we are reading. It's not simply reading and fulfilling what we have in obligation for the day, but rather to read in order that we may be able to understand and consider and know God in a right way, so that our lives will be changed and we would live in the right way before God. The works of God, being wondrous, both deserve and need our consideration. And the due consideration of them will help us to reconcile us to all his providences, says Matthew Henry. Know God. As we look at the world around us, the things that are happening in nature, well, they are but by the decree of the Almighty God. And he is that powerful to order all these things, and we subsisting under him. It behooves us to consider and think concerning ourselves in the light of who God is. So in our first thought, verse 14, how do we acknowledge God? Hear and consider his works. Hear and consider his works. This is what Elihu says to Job. Stand still. Stand still. In other words, there are times when we need to be still before God. There are times when we need to be quiet before God. There are times when we need to realize how great God is and how puny man is. Can man bargain and reckon with God? Can he show his displeasure to him, being a creature in the hand of his Creator? Surely, as the words of the Apostle Paul tells us, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? We realize that we are moved along life by the minutest and momentous works of his hand in arranging the weather and the seasons. and our lives. He does all these things. So Elihu uses two imperatives, hearken and consider. The word consider means to understand, to discern, to be awakened to the presence of God ordering our lives. We have a tendency, right, to want to resist God in our own mindset as to what we think is best for ourselves. But God has a better way, and He's seeking that we would understand Him and know His good will for us. We are not living in an evolved world over millions of years, but in a world created and sustained by the Almighty God. And therefore, there is a purpose, there is a plan under the earth, there is a purpose and plan that God has for the lives of His people that is beautiful and sweet, that God wants us to live and live out. For Job, in all his trials, the Lord is seeking for him to understand, to know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is seeking for us to learn patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, ye may be mature, and entire, wanting nothing. So, as you think about it, what kind of an invisible quality attribute is that that God is seeking to put in us? Well, that's an attribute of God. The long-suffering of God is an attribute of God. And how He's long-suffering to us, what? How He endured the cross, how He went alone in order to win our redemption. The long-suffering of God, patience, not only to His dissenters, those who would oppose Him, but also patience, long-suffering, and patience in the hostility of the environment that was before Him. Job comes to a right frame of mind to understand the greatness and majesty, and therefore to awe and humble himself before God when he learns to come to faith and silence before God. He cannot find the breakthrough in his walk with God. God is seeking to develop certain things in him. Whereas Job needed to see and learn. Sometimes in life, in our own fallenness and weakness, we seem to be moving in a different direction towards where God wants to be molding us. And somehow we do not understand. We just cannot comprehend. And so God has to arrest us time and time again in our circumstances, in our situation, in order to get our attention. The psalmist expressed well in Psalm 39 and verses 1 to 5 and verse 6. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. No, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. A man comes to know himself, and he realizes Right? How frail he is. How his days are but a handbreadth. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Wow. Can you understand that? Yes. When you compare a man in his the prime of his life, and you compare the man in his deathbed, what glory we see, how great that is. But when it comes to the time of reckoning, all this perishes to nothing. And so as we think and really consider, the Lord wants us to know, and the psalmist acknowledged, he says in verse 6 of Psalm 39, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Isn't it so true? We spend half our life, all our lives, gathering and gathering and gathering. And after that, we don't know what will come after. What a paradox, isn't it? When we take our last breath, we said, what am I doing? Shouldn't I be doing better in gathering, or should I have been better in scattering? We learn of the person of Job or Jacob in our Sunday message in the book of Genesis. His name is called Grab. Basically, his name is called Grab. So when he came out of the mother's womb, what was he doing? Well, grabbing the heel of his brother. And you look at his life, he was always grabbing, right? Taking the things that does not belong to him. And he had to learn, finally, how to have peace in his life. Grab hold of God. That was what he needed. That is where he would find peace in his life. All the grabbing in his life does not help him. In all his, in the person of God reaching out to man and molding man in his image, God seeks to sanctify us so that we may learn to live on higher ground. We may learn to live on a better plane, an eternal plane, a plane of no regrets, a plane where our labor will not be wood, hay, and stubble, but gold, silver, and precious stones. How important it is that we would learn and we would to acknowledge God and to be grateful under God. Well, how the psalmist was determined to remain silent in the scoffer's presence, not to sin with his mouth by accusations against the Lord. Right? We can, in our distress, be unbridled in our tongue. Verse 4 to 6 speaks of the impatient utterances of a man overcome by frustrations and hunger and anger in his plight. His reflections on the brevity and futility of life in comparison with it. God's all everlasting nature are a valuable perspective from which to view our affliction. You see, God wants us to understand a greater thing, a spiritual thing. And in our fallenness, we are somehow blinded. We cannot see. We cannot see the good things. We cannot acknowledge the the decrees and plans of God, the laws of God, how God would want us to live individually, as a family, with one another in His church. God has a decree, and the Lord wants us to live well for Him. Psalm 39, verse 7 to 10 says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. All my rebellions against God and His good ways for me. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because Thou didst it. Remove Thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of Thine hand." Well, we come under the divine grace and power of God to enable us to trust Him, whatever the outward circumstances that is befalling us. So here the man Elihu seek that Job would consider, be still and consider God and what He is doing in the world around him. And he cited the things that, the little things that happen to us, or the little things in the world around us, and attribute it to God. We often do not have that kind of a link towards the environment around us, and with God Himself being the one orchestrating and making and moving the world around us. And so Elihu sought to help Job to understand so that he would acknowledge his imperfection, his imperfect knowledge, understanding before God. And by that, it would humble him, grant him humility in the sight of the all-knowing God. Verse 5, 15 to 17. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds and the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind? Elihu, for the humbling of Job, shows him that he has no insight into natural causes, could neither see the springs or the movement of God and its effect upon the world around him. Dost thou know this and know that which are the wondrous works of God, who is perfect in knowledge? This was what Elihu asked to Job. The perfection of God's knowledge. How he was able to cause the light to shine in a cloud. Ah, rainbow. How he formed the rainbow. And how is it that you can only see it at this angle? When you're at this angle, you see it. And you are the one who see it. Whereas the one who sits over there and looks from the other side cannot have a view of it. How is it so mysterious? How is it that it appears before you, not one rainbow, but double rainbow? How is it that the other person does not see and you see it? Well, God works, and God is perfect in all His workings, and God seeks us to understand and know that He is the one directing the affairs of human lives and helps us to see Him in the light of all that is happening to us. And then in the light of His laws, that we would have the grace given to us to obey it, to hearken to it, and to be blessed of Him. You see, how the Lord wants to bless us, how He wants our good. Matthew Henry says, His knowledge is intuitive, He sees and does not know by report. In other words, it's not second hand, you know, His knowledge. But rather, He's there looking at the things going on. It is intimate and entire. He knows things truly and not by their colors. He knows things thoroughly, not piecemeal. To His knowledge, there is nothing distant, but all near, nothing future, but all present, nothing hid, but all open. That is why the Lord is able to give us the prophecies concerning the afterlife, prophecy concerning what will happen to the world around us, so that we will build our lives in the light of what is to come, so that our lives will be fruitful in the final analysis. We ought to acknowledge this in all His wondrous works. And it is sufficient to satisfy us in those wondrous works which we know not the meaning of, that they are the works of one that knows what He does. So sometimes you don't know what's going on. You only know that, wow, the rain was so heavy. And you only know that, wow, the wind is so strong. I have to close my window. I have to do this and that. But somehow, if we look at the connection, well, we cannot fathom why God is doing that. But He is doing that. How great is He? The imperfection of our knowledge, Matthew Henry says. We really don't know very much. The greatest philosophers are much in the dark concerning the powers and works of nature. We are a paradox to ourselves, right? We are the medical world is daily discovering better the human body. There are muscles that we still have not, you know, we've just discovered that it is there in our body. How is it so? The gravitation of bodies, the cohesion of the parts of matter, yet unaccountable. That we cannot really understand the physics of the world around us, but we know there is a system, we know the seasons, we know, but how does it fully work? Well, we have learned to come up with complicated, complex mathematical formulas to understand the movements of the world around us and predict them by this complex medical formulas, but it is just a little knowledge, right, concerning the complexity of the world around us that is still unknown, undiscovered. And so we confess our ignorance. We realize that we are incompetent judges of the things around us, Matthew Henry says, of divine politics. When we understand so little even of divine mechanics, how we don't know what is going on. We know not what orders God has given concerning the clouds or what orders He will give, right? How much water will be contained in a cloud so that it will rain at the right place? You recall, right? We saw how the Lord gives what we see around us for correction, for the land, and for mercy. God does all these things. Can we read Him? Cannot read Him. Can we bargain with Him? Cannot bargain with Him. And we are afflicted. Job was afflicted. What should be his response in the struggle of his heart? What should be the right response? Elihu was seeking for Job to give a right response to his afflictions. God often causes the light of his cloud to shine in the rainbow, in the lightning. But how little we understand why he's doing what he's doing. The clouds lifted up in the air, the balancing of them, the wondrous works of God. They are what they are, and God seeks for us to understand. And how can we understand? Well, except we receive the benefit from it. God put the sun at the right distance from us so that, you know, we would get vitamin D and we would bask in the sun. How we realize we need these things for our well-being. Well, He puts them there without telling us. And He makes the day day and the night night. Right? In the night we sleep, in the day we are out and we get exposed. How He brings the seasons, verse 17. How thy garments are warm and He quieteth the earth by the south wind. How seasons change from winter, after winter, when the weather suddenly turns warm after it had been so cold. We know that our clothing become warm when the weather changes. We become warm because the air is warm. Haggai says, without God's blessing, we should clothe ourselves, yet not be warm. Isn't it so true? Without God's blessing, the peace that God gives us in the heart is beyond what the world is able to give us. And when He so orders it, our clothing become warm. How the weather becomes calm after a storm. He quiets the earth by the south wind. When spring comes, and He wants us to realize that we are not there when He created the world. You know, man has this thinking that if we do not have proof, we cannot accept what is given us. If you cannot prove it to me, that God created the world in six literal days, then I cannot accept it. He has not understood the concept of faith in the truth. You see, there's such a thing as the truth that is given us. There's such a thing as that which you can accept without having a proof. And here in verse 18, Elihu sought for Job to understand. Has thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass? Were we there at the making of the world? We were not there. Did we have a part in it? We had no part in it. Can we pretend that we are a creator? No, we cannot. We cannot pretend that we stretch out the world. It is God who does it. Much as we think of ourselves and how we uplift ourselves, the Lord seeks that we have a right understanding of who we are. And here, the psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. When we look up to heaven, it is like a mirror or a looking glass, Matthew Henry says, not to show us our faces, but as a representative, a representation of the purity, dignity, and the brightness of the heavenly world and its glorious inhabitants. Isn't it so true? You look up, all your loved ones who have left, gone before you, in the Lord. As we look up, it helps us to see. That's knowledge. So that when we look down and we look at the crippling effect of the corruption of the world around us, we are not hopeless. We feel a sense of comfort because of the truth concerning the better world to come. That's faith, you see. That's something that we do not see. And so, we say this, that can we rest in the knowledge of creation as revealed by God in the Holy Scriptures, even though we are not there, even though we cannot prove it? There is such a knowledge as true knowledge that can only be received by faith. As such, can we trust God in His providence whenever, whatever the circumstances will be in our lives? Do we live by proof? Or can we live in peace and joy by faith in God? In other words, can you live by faith that you have a God who cares for you without being overwhelmed by the circumstances around you, and let it affect you and discourage you and overwhelm you? Can you? There's a better way to view our afflictions, Elihu is saying to Job, and our response to it. So the final thought, let us be silenced before him. Verse 19, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speak, shall he, surely he shall be swallowed up. Here we see how we need to learn to have a mind that realizes our insufficiency before God, and so that we would learn to be quiet before God, as the psalmist says in Psalm 39, which we saw in verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heap up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. You know, we are so confused. We are often so uncertain. We are often at a loss. And we are often in want of understanding. And so, what do the people do? Well, let us be silent before God, commune with Him, and seek Him and His peace, seek Him and His wisdom, seek Him and His person. May we not sin with our tongue, but keep our mouth before God. And how can we do so? Well, let us learn to praise Him. Learn to be grateful before Him. In everything, to give thanks to God. To live in the sight of God as a child who knows that we have a God who truly cares for us and loves us and wants the best for us, and we are willing to live for Him, with Him, guided by Him, and to accept that we don't know, and be willing to live at peace, even in the sight of, or in the light of, an unknown future, an unknown tomorrow, because we have a God who knows, who is powerful enough to order, and who is good enough to make it so good for us. So may we rest in that goodness. And that is what Elihu is saying to Job. Do not fight with God, but rather bless Him, worship Him, and sanctify our hearts before Him. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy grace and help us to understand Thee by Thy Spirit. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.